Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
The only persons to whom I am irreplaceable are my husband and children. I am my kids' only mom, and I'm my husband's only wife, and it is my great blessing to be able to serve them.
The United States is not and never will be at war with Islam. Bin Laden was not a Muslim leader. He was a mass murderer of Muslims.
For as much as William and Catherine have consented together in holy wedlock, I pronounce that they be man and wife together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
If you are going to church to learn practical tips for healthy living, I'll tell you what St. Paul said. If we are to hope for Christ only in this world, then we are to be the most pitied of all men.
Homeschool families love Issues, etc. We have issues.
One of the guests for the Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday afternoon pointed out, before we came on the air here, Pastor Kevin Golden here in the studio said, it's interesting that on Good Shepherd Sunday, we have a reading from the Good Shepherd chapter of John's Gospel, but Jesus in this 10 verses, the first 10 verses of John chapter 10, doesn't actually say, I am the Good Shepherd. In fact, he says he is something else. And so we're going to struggle during this hour, along with many Christians who do, with what Jesus is saying when he says something like, I am the door of the sheep. You know, sayings like that of Jesus have been used, these figurative sayings of Jesus have been used and are still used by many Christians to deny other clear statements of Jesus like, this is my body, this is my blood. So what does Jesus mean when he says, I am the door of the sheep, and that everyone else who has come and does not enter by that door is a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, there he is talking about himself. It's our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, May the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be in John chapter 10, the first 10 verses. Pastor Kevin Golden, Pastor Mark Knuckles will be our guest. In the second hour of the program, Colleen Carol Campbell joins us for a brief conversation on the disconnect on America's views of weddings and marriage. There are an awful lot of shows on cable television about, well, not so much about weddings, but mostly about the cake and the dress. And that's almost what the wedding has been reduced to, the cake and the dress. And of course, marriage gets left far behind. We'll see what Colleen Carol Campbell has to say about that. Then we'll spend the remainder of the second hour of the program talking about, I dare say he is my favorite Old Testament character, Samson, the judge. And I don't know why he's my favorite, but he is. It's one of the longest judge stories that we have in the Old Testament. And he is completely out of the mold for any holy man, man filled with the Spirit of God. He does things that no other man filled with the Spirit of God does. He kills people. He kills them rather brutally. Remember the old jawbone of an ass incident? And he's a man of war. And yet we are told repeatedly in Samson's life, he's doing these things by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. So what kind of mold? Do we need to change the mold when we think about what God does by his Holy Spirit? Dr. Andrew Steinman will be our guest in the last 45 minutes of the program or so. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or visit our Facebook fan page. Leave your thoughts and comments on John chapter 10, the first 10 verses, facebook.com/issuesetc. The listener with the best question or comment, however they get that question or comment to us, will receive a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible as we talk about John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Pastor Kevin Golden is pastor of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. Kevin, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here, as always.
Thanks for coming in. On the phone from Austin, Texas, one of the funnest towns in the entire world, senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church there, Pastor Mark Knuckles. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks a lot. Good afternoon. And yes, we got rain today down here in the heart of Texas.
Really? My parents live in Dallas, or actually in Fort Worth, and they tell me that's pretty rare nowadays.
Yeah, oh, it sure has been. This has been wonderful today. So totally unrelated. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. That's fine. It's something you're happy about without a doubt.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. Pastor Golden, when Jesus utters these words, and they're found there in the sixth verse, right in the middle of the text, and we'll do the text verse by verse here in a moment, but it says, when Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep, and no one who enters apart from that door is a thief and a robber, and the one who enters is the shepherd. It says his disciples don't understand what he's saying, and it says he's using a figure of speech. Why don't they understand what seems rather clear to us on this side of the text?
Well, one could argue that it's Jesus' intention for them not to really understand. Now, it's mentioned here that Jesus is using figure of speech. In other places, we have a very explicit mention of him speaking in parables. And Jesus does point out at various points in the gospel that the reason he speaks in parables is, quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, so that though they hear, they will not understand. And so in many ways, Jesus does this at times simply to confound those who think that they've got it all figured out so that they might rightly understand. Well, they need him to explain it to them. Now, the other side of that also is, well, where does the explanation come from? Jesus at times does explain his parables later with his disciples when they're in private, when he had spoken with a parable in a group setting. We don't have that mentioned here specifically with John 10 with these figures of speech, but what we can certainly say is that in John, later in the Gospel of John, Jesus promises them he's going to send his Holy Spirit once he ascends to the Father. And when the Spirit comes, he's going to clarify everything for them. He's going to remind them of what Jesus said, and he's going to make it known to them so they can rightly understand it. So in the end, that's, you know, a critical reason why they don't quite get it yet. Pentecost has not yet happened. And so the Holy Spirit has not, if you will, revealed to them the fullness of what Jesus was saying here.
Early in the text, Pastor Knuckles, he begins with kind of his characteristic, truly, truly, I say to you. What do those words generally signal when Jesus begins to say something that way?
The truly, truly is a continuation of chapter 9 when he had just finished the teaching to the Pharisees who, claiming to see, they are blind. And then he begins to reveal to them also about himself and to who he is and what he's about to proclaim about himself, being the shepherd, in light of all those Old Testament passages where the Lord continually castigates the shepherds for misuse of the flock, and he's proclaiming himself to be the shepherd who will take care of the flock and then ultimately entrust it unto the hands of those who bear the office of the holy ministry to do the same. But here when he begins with truly, truly, he's making a very, very important point, as he does elsewhere where he uses that, and pulling everyone's eyes to him as, I am the deity who is speaking to you on the same authority and same level as you would if God were talking to you from the bush. I am he, the Word made flesh.
So is this kind of a Jesus counterpoint to the traditional response that the church has after hearing the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament, read in public worship? Usually the traditional response is, this is the Word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Is this Jesus' way of kind of saying that before he even says what he has to say? I am speaking the Word of the Lord, Pastor Golden.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. In fact, since this word in the Greek, it comes in as amen, it's actually a Hebrew word, and the root of that Hebrew word talks about something being concrete, something solid, something dependable. There's no doubt about it. And so you could say that this is Jesus's rendition of thus saith the Lord. Of course, Jesus doesn't use those words because he is the Lord. So he can just simply say, truly, truly, verily, verily, or amen, amen, if you will, to say, yeah, this is definitive word from God.
And what he says, Pastor Knuckles, is, and it sounds like he's talking about animal husbandry or how one might conduct themselves when raising livestock. He says, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. It's a rather complex metaphor he launches into there.
It is, but it does tie into narrow the way that leads to eternal life, broad and is the way that leads to eternal death. And the door is the very narrow aspect of Christ and Christ alone. And anyone who wishes to do that which is counter to the shepherd and to how he has revealed himself is definitely of Satan. And it's very sublime in today's culture how individuals wish to portray Christ in being something other than how he has portrayed himself to be, and more importantly, how he has promised and has bound himself to be revealed to the sheep through the proclaimed word, through the Holy Supper, through baptism. Those are his ways that are the narrow ways through which one goes to the kingdom of God. To get outside of those, then you're right, we are playing with fire.
Pastor Golden, about a minute before we take our first break here, we need to identify some of the things. There's a little danger here, because whenever you're dealing with parabolic speech in Jesus' case, we're not always called upon to identify every aspect
Correct. Of
what he's saying. There are find a one-for-one correspondence, but there are some things that do need to be identified. First and foremost, what's he talking about? The door and the sheepfold and the shepherd. Those are the three characters here, if you will.
All right. When it comes to the door, he does say very explicitly, I am the door. So when he speaks of the door, it is simply the means by which somebody enters in, if you will, to the sheepfold, and that would be him specifically. Likewise, later on, we hear about he will, not in this text proper that we're dealing with, the first 10 verses, but later on in John 10, he makes a very clear statement, I am the good shepherd. So the shepherd who does enter in by the door, this is Christ coming himself.
And when we come back, we'll talk about the sheepfold. Continuing our conversation, our pastor's roundtable, with Pastor Kevin Golden and Pastor Mark Knuckles, our pastor's roundtable on this Thursday afternoon. Did God really create the world in 6 24-hour days? And what difference does it make? The Issues Etc. book of the month for May is In the Beginning, God, Creation from God's Perspective. It's written by regular guest Dr. Joel Heck. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase In the Beginning, God by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, In the Beginning, God.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. I am the door of the sheep. Right next to the Good Shepherd stuff, and it is including, of course, Good Shepherd stuff, Jesus is laying down a rather complex metaphor. it has several elements to it, and it is one that requires us to shift between Jesus being the door, the shepherd, the door, the shepherd. As to the final question here, before we move on here, Pastor Golden, I'll let you finish. What is the sheepfold, or the sheep that are in the sheepfold?
Well, the sheep who are in the sheepfold would simply be those who are the people of God. All right, you could call that the church. In Old Testament terms, we'd put this as Israel. Those who have saving faith belong to the shepherd, his sheep. And this is pretty clear that it's specifically those who belong to the shepherd, in that there's that that they're part of the faithful. Because later on, once again here in John 10, Christ does start talking about how there are other sheep who are not yet of this fold, and they need to be in the fold, and so we're going to go get them as well.
Pastor Knuckles, and it can be confusing because he's shifting things. He, as the kind of the place where Jesus is in the analogy, floats around here a little bit. First, he's talking about how the shepherd is identified, and later he'll be talking about how sheep are identified. Who are the thieves and robbers in real life?
Most commonly, the thieves and robbers in today's world will tend to be the very people that do not want to be seen as thieves or robbers. That's probably Satan's greatest trick, is to appear as anything but a thief and robber. Obviously, for Christ, it's extremely obvious to them as to who they are, as well as to us, if we are willing to stick with what he has said, is that the door, those who enter through that door, are the shepherds who are doing what I have commanded them to do and to be what they are supposed to be. But the thieves and robbers will tend to do all kinds of things in order to pull our eyes and our point of faith being trusted and leaning upon away from the door and from the shepherd. And it tends to always speak to our flesh and our reason and our senses at all times. Those are the very bent parts of us that continually see such things and are being pulled in that direction. But ultimately, they are the most unobvious at times, because if they were so obvious, there would be no need for the warning against them as other places. These are the things that we must watch and watch carefully, because it still binds us back to the shepherd and the door through which the shepherd passes.
So is Jesus saying here, is this a warning about false teachers, Pastor Knuckles? Initially,
absolutely.
just the first two verses.
Oh, right, yes, absolutely. False teachers, anything that pulls you away from the narrow way that God has brought us through. So, for example, anyone who's going to besmirch the great gift of baptism is, though they may have all good intention and wish to be a brother in Christ, they're pulling one away from the very clear teaching that's being proclaimed, that God has given to us to be the way through which we pass in order to be brought into the sheepfold. If someone is going to malign the great gift of the Holy Supper and push it away from us as God's continual call to us to be fed in the sheep pen or in the great golden shepherd pastures that he brings us to, is the same thing. It is false teaching, sometimes intentional by well-meaning, unfortunately misdirected individuals, and sometimes completely unintended by ignorant ones who aren't aware of the great truth of Scripture reveals.
Okay, and we're kind of getting some front-loaded confusion here, Pastor Golden, because when he speaks here in verse 2, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. When he speaks here in verse 2, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, he's not strictly speaking, well, I don't know if he is. Is he both the door and the shepherd at this point? Because later he will say, I am the door. It's pretty obvious from the verses that follow 3 through 6 that he's the shepherd. How do we sort that out?
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear you say you're struggling with this a little bit, Todd. You're sounding like a good disciple, because I didn't figure it out.
What I'm trying to do is, rather than skip over the hard part, and the hard part here is that he's both
Yes.
Or he appears to be both in this text.
Yes. Now, a good argument can be made that also, as he's talking about a shepherd entering into the sheep pen, that this can also speak to the flip side of what Pastor Knuckles was just describing for us. There he was talking about false teachers, those who would lead us away from the salvation that is ours in Christ by besmirching baptism or undercutting our confidence in the supper, something along those lines, versus those who are a faithful shepherd to the flock of God, a faithful pastor who does point his people back to the gift that Christ has given them. So an argument can be made, and especially if you understand the pastoral office properly as Christ's tool that he uses to bring his gifts, that the true shepherd, the good shepherd, is Christ alone. But shepherds who are doing their job, and after all, that is what pastor means, shepherd, they are the ones who lead the sheep in through the gate, not looking for other ways, but saying only, here's Christ, here's what Christ has done for your salvation, here's him delivering it to you in his word, in his baptism, in his supper.
Pastor Knuckles, it's kind of an odd arrangement between the sheep and this shepherd. Verse 3, to him, that is, to the shepherd of the sheep, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Pausing there for a moment, I live in sheep country. Southern Illinois has a lot of sheep. I've watched one of my favorite events to attend in the springtime. I missed it this year, sad to say, is the Sheep Festival in my county, Monroe County, Illinois. And I've watched shepherds work sheep. They don't lead sheep. Sheep don't follow. Sheep don't follow. Sheep have to be driven. They can't be led. They usually use dogs to do the driving because the shepherd can't be everywhere at once. But sheep respond mostly to the impulse of fear behind them rather than something in front of them.
Did not know some of this because, I mean, I grew up with cattle in Kansas, so we didn't have a lot of sheep.
Yeah. Well, I imagine there might be the rare sheep that would follow the shepherd, but by and large, sheep don't follow. They have to be driven. It sounds like Jesus has a unique relationship as a shepherd with his sheep.
It is a beautiful picture, being led. To be led means you have no idea of where you're going. You have no idea where you're going when someone's driving you, but then there's no one really telling you where to go. Being led, you are like little kids in kindergarten in a line following the leader, and the leader is leading us somewhere, many times places we don't necessarily want to go, especially as we bear the cross of our faith in this world. And interestingly enough, when he talks about leading out his own and calling them by name and that voice, it brings back some interesting memories of my first dealings with a person, a lady who was old and who was unable to recognize who I was due to dementia or what have you. But when I began to use the bits and pieces of the liturgy, the voice of the shepherd that has been so inculcated into her mind and into her fiber, she, in a sense, came out of her, as it were, dementia and looked at me with clear eyes and said, "You're my pastor." It blew me away, and I remember older pastors telling me about that, and obviously it doesn't happen all the time, and I realize that, but it was a very big light-on moment to see this text come to life in that, not my specific timbre of voice, but the very words from the shepherd, which is Scripture, which is what we pray and sing in our holy liturgy.
And might I back up with what Pastor Knuckles is pointing out here, because everything he was just saying is grounded on the voice of the Good Shepherd, and this is how Christ operates. He does things by the power of his word. Once again, you put this in the context of the entire Gospel of John, and this is a recurring theme, just as it is throughout the entire Bible, that Christ does things in accordance with his word. So we hear out in the very beginning of John, in the beginning was the word, where he identifies himself as the word. So also in the very next chapter, John chapter 11, we see the voice of the good shepherd doing its thing with the raising of Lazarus, where how it happens is no CPR, but rather he simply speaks and Lazarus, rise, come forth, and Lazarus responds.
I want to get into that on the other side of the break. I don't want to get too far into the raising of Lazarus, but you might, if you were paying attention even think Jesus is talking about the raising of Lazarus in the verses that were just read. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, he calls his own sheep by name, Lazarus, and leads them out, and when he has brought them out, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I don't know. I think maybe Jesus might be giving a hint as to what he's going to do next with his dead friend Lazarus. We'll talk about more of this on the other side of the break. I invite your questions or comments. We are coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 12th of May, looking at John chapter 10, the first 10 verses. I am the door of the sheep. Pastor Kevin Golden is pastor of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. And Pastor Mark Knuckles is senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas. 1-877-623-6943. The listener with the best question or comment during this hour of Pastor's Roundtable will get a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible from Concordia Publishing House. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The supporters of abortion don't have a valid argument on their side, so their strategy is to silence the pro-life message. CBS, the media giant, owns tons of billboards, and they refuse to allow even a benign pro-life message to be seen. They've censored the words, abortion kills babies, because they say not everyone agrees with this statement. So why do they allow an in-your-face message from atheists? CBS also won't even allow a picture of an infant on a pro-life billboard because it might be considered shocking or unsettling for the consumer. What are they afraid of? It's simple. They're afraid the truth of abortion will be heard and seen. CBS is afraid women will be empowered with this truth and turn away from abortion. But censorship won't win the day.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 25 more minutes in our Pastor's Roundtable. As I said before the break, we're giving away a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible from Concordia Publishing House to the listener with the best question or comment on John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Or call in number 1-877-623-6943 or leave a question at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. From Clarksville, Tennessee, Jan, thanks for waiting on the line.
Sure, thank you. Todd, I'm not trying to dump on you or anything, but I am a spinner and weaver, and I have friends who raise sheep. And the idea of being driven and chased by dogs and whatever is a totally American way of herding sheep. In the Middle East, and I have friends who have seen this in person, I've never been there myself, the shepherds, the sheep, the herds are much smaller, or flocks are much smaller, and the shepherd knows the sheep personally, and that they really do follow. So that's what I just wanted to say, that was, you know, we do things differently here in the United States, just like everything else.
All right, Jan, thank you very much. Thanks for the correction. And yeah, we got to do a little bit of the Ken Bailey sometimes when we impose our Western way of doing things on the text here. Okay, so maybe, I don't know, maybe the relationship here isn't unusual in terms of the animal husbandry. You were talking before the break, Pastor Golden, about how Jesus does these things, how he leads them by his voice. It is, that's the interface.
Yes.
Between the shepherd and his sheep, his voice.
Yeah, and Christ also points out, this is why the sheep don't go after the false shepherds, those who would steal and kill and destroy, because the sheep don't know the voice of these strangers. They're not going to go after them. And this is really underlined, I believe, in verses 7 and 8, in that they don't recognize the voice of these false shepherds because they know the voice of the good shepherd. And going back to something we talked about maybe 15 minutes ago, this also underlines the role of the pastor as an under-shepherd, if you will, that his whole role is to simply be a voice, is to be Christ's voice, speaking Christ's word, not his own word, to the sheep, so that the sheep hear Christ and not the man.
In contrast to that, Pastor Knuckles, is the stranger he mentions in verse 5. They follow the shepherd, they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. What's Jesus talking about there?
Before we get into that, I wanted to double up on what you said earlier. You were bringing in Lazarus in the 11th chapter and calling him out of the tomb.
Sure.
It's interesting to note in the 20th chapter that when Jesus speaks Mary's name at the resurrection account, she recognizes him. And prior to him saying Mary, she does not recognize him. And it does mirror a great deal from that text about knowing them by name. And now how it ties into the whole concept of stranger, typically, and the sheep are going to hearken unto the voice. Now, the longer one stays away from the voice, the less differentiation that voice is from all the other sirens in this world that draw us away. The more tied into that voice we are, the more familiar we become. As I mentioned to that, the little old lady with the liturgy, it becomes so ingrained in us, so firmly ensconced that it is a part and parcel of our fiber, God be praised. And as always, the Spirit can work through that word, through that same voice of the shepherd, just as he did, obviously, with Lazarus, as he did with Mary at the resurrection, and as he has done with us all through our baptism and obviously the Word and the Holy Supper.
So what does it mean, Pastor Golden, that there are many Christians who apparently don't recognize the voice of the shepherd? And there are many Christians, I mean, we give them the benefit of the doubt that they do trust in Christ, they have faith, who listen to the voice of strangers week after week after week, mm-hmm. and follow the stranger instead. They don't flee from the stranger.
Yeah, tragic to say the least. And on one hand, you can say that this is a great example of, Luther's great dictum, that we are simul justus et peccator, that at the same time I'm both a saint as well as a sinner. The saint is the sheep who hearkens to the voice of the good shepherd. But at the same time, I've also have a sinful nature that hearkens to all kinds of other voices because it resonates with my sinful nature. So that's certainly a part of it. This is also, you could describe this by the term we like to use in theology, of felicitous inconsistency, that it is inconsistent for me as a Christian to listen to this voice over here that undercuts my baptism or tells me to put my confidence in my own faith rather than my confidence in Christ himself or whatever it might be. It's inconsistent for me as a Christian to do that, but it is a felicitous inconsistency in that it doesn't destroy saving faith. But nevertheless, we have to say it's incredibly dangerous to saving faith. It kind of gets down to this issue of, if you want to put what your ears are hearing with these voices, just how much bad stuff do you want to let in your ears before it drowns out the good stuff?
Pastor Knuckles, how do I know that it's the voice of the shepherd as opposed to the voice of the stranger?
The more, like the Bereans, we're tied into his word, the more we are in our regular devotions and reading and feeding upon the very Word or the manger where we find Christ in His holy Word, the more we are becoming familiar with that voice. It's somewhat like taking a child from a parent and adopting that child. That child, though it was born by those parents, the longer that child is away from that parent's voice and all the influence that that parent brings, and more with the new adoptive parents, that child assimilates into that new family and knows nothing else other than that, because that's what that child is been continually fed day in and day out. It is the same with us. We are adopted by grace. We are brought into another family. We do need to hear that voice regularly. The challenge is, as always, we tend to want to rely upon our reason and senses, and we tend to want to take the barometer reading of our faith oftentimes, and it's easy to get out of the habit. It's somewhat sad, but many of our brothers in the ministry can allow that to come into their own daily devotion and daily prayer life. It's extremely very easy, because we love to applaud and not only others but ourselves in our busyness and in our ability to accomplish many things.
Here, Jesus, and we pick up a verse 7. We talked earlier about verse 6. Here, Jesus says something that he will repeat twice in the course of one paragraph. So again, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." What's he describing there, Mark?
He is definitely describing those who spoke the word of the prophets of old. They who spoke in the same vein and in the same line as all those who preceded them, that prophetic line is those who heard, are those who proclaimed, and then those who heard are part of that one holy Christian and apostolic church that is eternal from the beginning of Adam and Eve all the way to the end of time as the communion of saints.
Is he talking in any sense here about, negatively, those who came before him, thieves and robbers, about false Christs?
The false prophets of the Old Testament, the false Christs, all those who claim to be something. And isn't it interesting, they always are going away toward glory and or self-deprecation, so that you, in a sense, self-aggrandizement in your giving up so many things rather than the way of the cross.
Pastor Golden, he says the sheep did not listen to them, but if I read the Old Testament, at least visibly, the Old Testament people of God spent more time listening to the thieves and robbers than to that golden thread, that voice of Christ echoing back through the Old Testament through the voice of the true prophets.
Well, that's most certainly true. And so you have Jesus himself, who hearkens to that very reality on various occasions when he says, describes Jerusalem as those who stone the prophets, kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to them. So this is certainly an issue in the Old Testament. What one can speak to is the fact that also the Old Testament constantly refers to there being a righteous remnant, that there's always, even in the midst of apostasy and people falling away and following after false gods, listening to false prophets, that there is always the righteous remnant that remains because they hear the voice of their shepherd.
Verse, that is comforting, isn't it?
Then verse 9, "I am the door," he repeats it. "If anyone enters by me," now he's kind of shifted the emphasis of that early picture, "he will be saved and will go in and come out and find pasture. The thief only comes to kill and steal and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Pastor Knuckles, why does he repeat himself here, "I am the door"?
Making it very clear, I mean, if you're looking for an exact answer, there's all kinds of possible answers. I would tend to want to say that he's repeating it twice in those first 10 verses, just as he repeats in the next 10, "I am the good shepherd," twice, making it very abundant in the first half of that 20-verse section, as it were, that the door is the first part of this first section that he wants to emphasize himself being. And then in verse 10, when he talks about the thief coming only to steal and kill and destroy, coming through that door? No, never. Always through the over the fence or over the side of the wall, as it were, and never through the door. The door is always the main place through which all who are true prophets, or in this case, now as the on this side of Christ's ascension, all who are true shepherds or pastors will always proclaim through that.
Pastor Mark Knuckles is part of our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday afternoon. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas, along with Pastor Kevin Golden, pastor of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. When we come back, your questions and comments on these last verses of John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I mentioned before giving away a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible to the listener with the best question or comment during our Pastor's Roundtable. The Lutheran Study Bible is just a tremendous, long sought after resource. There are study Bibles. You can find hundreds of study Bibles. If you go to a Christian bookstore, you'll find all different kinds, and they're all aimed at teens, moms, dads, office workers, you name it. They're all kinds of specialized study Bibles. What about a study Bible that doesn't try and cherry pick verses toward a certain end, but one that simply points you page after page, note after note, comment after comment to the central teaching of Holy Scripture, Christ and Him crucified for sinners, and Jesus as the only way of salvation? Well, there is one. It's called the Lutheran Study Bible. You can find out more about it by going to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Lutheran Study Bible for yourself. They have several different edition sizes, varieties for you to choose from. Ask for the Lutheran Study Bible, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. John in Duluth, Minnesota writes this: what is the door that Jesus is talking about in verse 9? Is Jesus himself the door? Is faith the door? Is the cross upon which Jesus died the door? What is this door Jesus keeps talking about? Good question, John. Thanks for listening in Minnesota. Pastor Knuckles.
It's definitely Christ. Obviously, we can make it all kinds of other symbols beyond that, but if Christ is referring to himself as being the door, he is, in a sense, in the same way saying, as he says later on in the Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the light. That one, one and only one way through which all who enter the flock come through is him.
I want to come back to that in just a minute with a question of my own. But first, Eric in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, for you, Pastor Golden. I'm guessing, says Eric, that the thief in verse 10 is referring to false teachers. If that is true, the text says that they have come only to steal and kill and destroy. It doesn't seem to me, says Eric, that all false teachers today are necessarily murderous, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, liberals, but many seem to be loving and caring toward others. Please explain.
Well, put this in the context of, if you will, kind of an eschatological context, that when it comes to life, and that's probably the, since the individual who submitted this question talked about so many of them don't seem murderous, so how could this be? Well, murderous not in maybe in the sense of wanting to put a gun to my head and pull the trigger, but when they set forth false teaching that leads me away from Christ, that undermines what Christ has done for me and my confidence in that, then that leads to death, and not just physical death. It's everlasting death. And so, once again, as was mentioned before, this is not something that many of them do intentionally. They have good motives. They think they're simply maybe engaging people more passionately by speaking to them in a way that will be gripping to them. But since it takes them away from Christ, in whom alone there is life, then you end up with this.
It's ultimately destructive and murderous.
Yes, yes.
Kathleen in Columbus, Ohio, Pastor Knuckles says, I've always found this to be one of my favorite passages for discussing the quote-unquote literal interpretation of the Bible. How do we share and explain the difference between I believe the Bible is literal and the Bible means what it says within the bounds of normal language, for example, hermeneutics matter? I use this when I am talking about parables and metaphors in Scripture that Jesus did not mean that he was wooden, having hinges like a literal gate or door. Thoughts, please.
Yeah, absolutely right. Context is so important for determining meanings of words and how they're used. When Christ said, this is my body and this is my blood, the context of the Last Supper, the context of the New Testament that he calls it, or the New Covenant, very, very important and totally in a different setting than when he is speaking to the Pharisees. And the transition verse in the last verse of chapter 9, talking about them hearing but not really hearing and seeing but not really seeing, and he goes right on into the whole reason that they're not, and it's much more for our sake, those who are quote-unquote enlightened by the Holy Spirit, in order for us to be comforted by it, the very thing that the lady said, this is a beautiful passage for that very purpose.
Marie in North Bend, Oregon, a very beautiful section of Scripture with verse 10, that Satan loves to make us forget that the focus is about Christ, not man. It's sad that the last verse is so misquoted and that the focus that Christ is our only way, that is the door, is forgotten. About your thoughts there, Pastor Golden.
Well, I believe she's really focusing in on those words, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And that is often twisted to be, well, God wants you to be successful in this venture or that venture and such. And here, to really understand this text, like any other text of Scripture, you have to stay within a biblical lexicon, or here specifically John's lexicon. How does he make use of the word life? Or even more specific than that, how does Christ speak of life in the Gospel of John? And he's consistent throughout that when it comes to life, he's the life. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Early in the Gospel of John, we hear about how that the light was coming into the world, and that light was the life of men, and that was very clearly Christ that is being discussed there. So to have life and have it abundantly is simply to have Christ. Without Christ, there is you have no life, if you will, and with Christ, you have life abundantly. So he doesn't just come piecemeal to us. He comes to us overflowing with the benefits of his cross, with grace, mercy, salvation, that he just does not stop, and that's what it means to have life abundantly.
Pastor Knuckles, one more question from our listeners, and this one comes from, let's see, from Sandy in Columbia, Missouri. She says, John 10, verses 1 through 10, brings to mind the words the Lord spoke through Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 34. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock out of their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. There is a lot of talk in the Old Testament about false shepherds and them misleading the sheep. Your thoughts on her comment?
It is. For the one-year series, that Ezekiel passage is the Old Testament text for this gospel reading, and it really ties together that concept of the false shepherds of the Old Testament who misused that great gift that God gave them to proclaim the Word of God and inevitably fell to their own demise. It is the same today. That Satan works mightily upon us as pastors, and the great gift that God has given us and the great privilege that God has given us as pastors to proclaim that good news of sins forgiven and balm to hurting and broken hearts, that gift is easily misused, and we do need to be at always vigilant in upholding that office with not only integrity but with clear and concise orthodox or correct teaching of all of his great gifts that he gives us to dispense. And then we also, as broken people, need to eat there as well, along with our sheep, because it is the bread of life that God gave to us from heaven.
Bottom line then, Pastor Golden, what is Jesus saying when he says to them, to us today, I am the door?
Salvation. Entering into the pen, into the sheepfold of the Father, happens in no other way than in Christ, who is crucified and resurrected for our salvation.
And any other way whatsoever, is it entirely excluded, the possibility of another way excluded by Jesus' exclusive statement here?
Correct. It is, all other means are excluded. There is no means of salvation outside of Christ, who is the door.
So when we read this, Pastor Knuckles, with about 30 seconds, perhaps instead of putting the emphasis on door, should we perhaps say the door? I am the door.
The door. Absolutely right. Otherwise, Christ and God become some schizophrenic, multiple personality, dual will person rather than a single will, single desire, single output in order to save us, to be the only way so that there is no confusion and rather there's comfort. Because then there's only one way. We're not double-guessing or second-guessing it.
Well, let's see. I'm going to go with Kathleen from Columbus, Ohio, as a recipient of our Lutheran Study Bible for our pastor's roundtable this Thursday afternoon. Kathleen, if you would send us an email with your mailing address, talkback@issuesetc.org, we'll send out to you the Lutheran Study Bible. Thanks to everybody with questions or comments during this hour with our pastor's roundtable. Pastor Kevin Golden is pastor of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. Kevin, thanks for coming over.
Good to be here as always.
Pastor Mark Knuckles is senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas. Glad you got your rain down there. I hope you get a little bit more during the summer. Thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome, and continue to rejoice. Christ is risen, brothers.
He is risen indeed. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. We'll kick it off with Colleen Carroll Campbell talking about the disconnect in Americans' views of weddings and marriage. A lot is made of the wedding, less of marriage. Weddings are considered to be happy occasions. Marriage is considered to be some form of imprisonment by many and very temporary. We'll talk about that disconnect and then one of my favorite Old Testament characters, Samson the Judge. Dr. Andrew Steinman will be our guest. Hour two of Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, May the 12th, in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.